You may be seated. Tonight we're going to consider how God has amplified Jacob's purpose in life. It was the Lord's intention from the start. But apparently, when Jacob wrestled with God back in chapter 32, things were altered. It was at that moment when God made him become more than just Jacob. Jacob. Back in chapter 32, when Jacob wrestled with God, God gave him a new name. God made him Israel. Israel. And we see how Jacob refers to that moment as he speaks, refers to that moment as he speaks with Jacob in this evening's text. I want to read it right now, verses 9 through 15. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. So Jacob had always simply been known as Jacob. He was given that name because he had been holding on, grasping his twin brother's heel. It appeared from the start Jacob wanted to come out first from his mom. He wrestled with Esau in his mother's womb, for Jacob wanted to get ahead. The name Jacob means heel grabber, or he who supplants. To supplant means to unseat or to replace, which is what Jacob did to Esau in his life. He unseated his brother as firstborn. He supplanted Esau. So he'd always been known as Jacob. And it wasn't until he wrestled with God that he was blessed beyond reason and placed at the head of the table. It was when Jacob strived with the Lord that his name was changed and he became great. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 32 briefly. Genesis chapter 32 is where Jacob wrestles with God. We read about the incident beginning in verse 22. That night, it says, "That night Jacob got up and took his wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites did not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So all his life, he was Jacob. He was the heel grabber, the one who supplants. Jacob was the unseater. He was the displacer. But not anymore, for God had touched him. God had given him a new name, a name that was fuller. God renamed Jacob Israel. Israel means God. With God he contended. With God he contended, or God's prince. And God blessed Israel, for that was his name now, and he became great. You might wonder, what's the significance of changing Jacob's name? So he calls him something a little different. So what? What's he trying to say to Jacob? What's he telling Jacob? This is what. God is telling him that his previous name was not enough. God is telling him that there is more in store for Jacob than what he currently experiences. He's telling Jacob that his plans and promises are greater than what can be grasped by a mere man. For Israel is a regal name, a regal name. The name Israel contains more than a single man could ever. The name Israel contains more than a single man could ever. Calvin writes, "The former name is not abolished, but the dignity of the other, which was afterwards put upon him, is preferred. A double name was given to the holy man, of which one was by far the most excellent." And I think we're given a hint, aren't we? As to the grand plans that God has for Israel, starting in verse 11. God tells him, "A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body." That's just a hint of things to come. And we've certainly witnessed, I think, throughout Scripture, that the name Israel conveys much more than a single man. Doesn't it? We know that in time, Jacob's sons, for instance, combined, they became known as Israel. They were the 12 sons of Israel, but also they took on the name in singularity, as if when God said Israel, he was referring to them, not just to Jacob, as if God meant they were Israel. I'm just going to share a few examples to show you this name Israel as extended beyond the buried body of their father. Jacob's in the ground, and the name Israel continues. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them." Exodus 2:23 says, "During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God." In both those cases, adding I-T-E-S, ites, Israelites, could have merely meant that Israel's original father, Israel as their original father, that he was the father of a clan, or he was the father of a group of people, or a nation. Adding the I-T-E-S to the end of the name Shechem gives you the Shechemites for his sons and grandsons. Adding I-T-E-S to Esau, otherwise known as Edom, gives you the Edomites, right? So here we have the Israelites. And we could say, oh, that's enough. All it's doing is telling me that they are descendants or sons and grandsons of Israel. Now, before you think it sounds so silly, and I'm straining at gnats, listen on. Because I think you will see that the name Israel goes well beyond Jacob. And it's not just an I-T-E-S that distinguishes him from his descendants. The name Israel is bigger than a mere man. Exodus 3:16 says this: Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, this is Moses, and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. So Moses was supposed to go and assemble the elders of Israel. Exodus 4:21-23, the Lord said to Moses, When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refused to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. Israel is my firstborn son, in the singular, speaking of the people of God. Joshua, later on, out of the slavery in Egypt, through the wilderness, Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. All right. So we're getting this idea that somehow the sons of Israel, the descendants of Israel, have now gotten their dad's name attached to them. It permeates them. This idea of Israel. So Joshua 11:23. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. 1 Samuel 7:15. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. You see how the name given to Jacob has embodied much more than just Jacob? Do you see how in the name of Israel, a people is all of a sudden represented? Indeed, in the name Israel, covenants and promises are contained. In the name Israel, God intends for the incarnation to take place and for the crucifixion to occur. And the resurrection. As the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh, Israel is God's firstborn son. Here are some more verses that convey the bigness of the name. No, Israel is not just the name given to Jacob. Yet here's what I'd like you to do. Try to in your minds, when you hear the name Israel, in the next verses I read, picture it as if it's just one man, one solitary man, Jacob, when I read to you these verses. Okay? A little exercise of the mind. 2 Kings 23:22. You hear the name Israel, you picture one man. One firstborn, right? Not since the days of the judges who led Israel, nor throughout the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. It's possible even. Psalm 121:3-5. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Psalm 136:10-12. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. Jeremiah 2:3. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. God is the protector of Israel, isn't he? You know the saying, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Where's that from? What's that? Spider-Man, right. I'm sure he didn't originate with it, but it appears Israel has not always lived up to his name. I continue citing some more verses. Ezekiel 14:6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. Isaiah 5:5. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sin. Judah also stumbles with them. Yet God does not forsake those that are his, does he? So later in Ezekiel, the prophet says, my dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Jesus came, the Son of God, to his people. And he told his disciples, all men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. He wanted them to go and preach and teach about the kingdom of God that had come. He said, I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Yet our Lord suggests that God's blessings were meant to extend beyond the hereditary descendants of Jacob. The covenant and promises contained in Israel were not to be held hostage by physical descent. The name Israel includes spiritual descendants also. You get where things are going when Jesus comments in the following verse. Because there were many in Israel who thought that because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the patriarchs, were their fathers, that they therefore were to be counted among the people of God. They were to be counted as Israel. And as we're going to find out in a moment, not all Israel is Israel. Luke 4:27, Jesus said, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. You see, God's grace extended outside of Israel at one time during the prophet Elisha, healed someone who was not counted among the descendants of Jacob. In fact, some of Jacob's physical descendants refused to submit themselves to Israel's heir. They refused God's ultimate prince and they crucified him, didn't they? And they mocked him. Mark 15:32, let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Peter preached to the descendants of Jacob. He preached that the Prince and Savior Jesus was the only one who could fulfill the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Acts 5, verses 30 through 32, the God of our fathers, Peter said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. That he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Paul was actually distraught. The Hebrew of Hebrews, Paul. He was distraught that many of his countrymen did not truly believe in the God who wrestled with Jacob. They did not truly believe in the God who wrestled with Jacob. Paul bemoaned in Romans 5:5-6, speaking of his countrymen, theirs are the patriarchs, he said. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, Paul said. Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. And that's not God's fault. And his word never failed. The things he said to Abraham, Isaac, and especially, as we account tonight, to Jacob. So not everyone who is descended from Israel is a member of Israel. So it's not physical descent that matters ultimately, or most of all. You are counted as a member of Israel based upon something else. For there are some who think they are part of Israel. They think that they are attached to Jacob and Jacob's God, but they are not. They have no part in Israel. Paul continues his exposition in Romans 11, verses 1 through 6. I ask then, because he sees all these descendants of Jacob rejecting Christ, I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were grace, it would no longer be grace. So some have descended from Israel, and they are included, and some are not. But look, there are others who were not descendants at all, physically. They too have been made partakers of the covenant and the promises made to Israel. They too have been partakers of the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection. Paul writes to people like you and me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery, he says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Members together of what? One body. And sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. Yes, friends, the name Israel that God gave to Jacob represents much more than just a man. The name Israel represents much more than just a nation. The name Israel is a name imbued with the covenant and promises of God, the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension. It is a name of God's people in total, those He loves and considers His firstborn. It is the name of His church. Like His grandfather, Abraham, whose name God changed to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. So Israel is a name that represents something greater than what can be grasped by a mere man. Israel is a regal name. The name Israel contains more than a single man could ever. And that has become good for you and me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are gracious and good. You're covenant God. And we understand that Your covenants originated and were established from eternity and implemented throughout history with Your people, coming to consummation in Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who have brought the two together into one. The promises, Lord, made along the way that the patriarchs, David, ultimately with Jesus, established Your will in the earth. It effectively purchased Your people, Your elect. We are so grateful to You that we are counted among them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.